Now, the aim of the police operation surrounding the G20 summit in London was quite simple: to protect some of the most powerful people on earth. Today, the police inspectorate concluded that, in some respects, the rights of protesters had been trampled on in the process, and certain tactics were criticised. But what the report did not mention was the presence, indeed actions, of the Territorial Support Group, an elite and controversial division of the Met Police Force, which many say needs much closer scrutiny. Richard Watson reports.
It was London's highest profile public order police operation for 5 years. The aim? To protect some of the most powerful people on earth attending the G20 leaders' summit. But the police inspectorate concluded that in some respects the rights of protesters had been trampled on, and they had the technology to record what was going on.
What the police were doing was more challenged visually and in every other way than it has been before. And I think the times are changing, and the police tactics need to change so that they plan, train and communicate around dealing with peaceful protest.
The police tactic of containing the demonstrators, so-called kettling, was criticised. Kettling is highly effective. Police use force to segregate demonstrators in pens, isolating suspected troublemakers. But innocent bystanders get stranded too, without food, water or toilet facilities for hours. This tactic was criticised today, but the Met defended its use.
What the report shows that there are a number of things that we can do to make the containment tactic better in the way in which we apply it in future, things that we've learnt since we have been putting it in place. But it's important to say, you know, we very rarely use that tactic in containment in public order situations. It's only on the odd occasion in the last few years that we've had to do it, but it is very effective.
The Metropolitan Police has already admitted that video appearing to show some protesters being struck raises profound concerns. Many of the officers at the front line in riot situations are from the so-called Territorial Support Group, which has been the subject of some controversy in the past.
This footage from April has caused widespread concern. 47-year-old Ian Tomlinson shoved over by an officer from the Territorial Support Group, an elite group of officers who are amongst the fittest in the force and who are supposed to be highly trained. Mr. Tomlinson later died, and the officer has been suspended while an investigation is carried out by the Independent Police Complaints Commission. There are close to 730 officers in the Territorial Support Group. In the 12 months from March 2008 to March 2009, that's not including the G20 protests, 283 TSG officers had complaints made against them. That's more than a third. In total, there were 547 allegations. 193 of these were resolved with the agreement of the complainant. A further 139 were unsubstantiated and 78 were not progressed. However, 137 complaints are still subject to ongoing investigation. That's more than one-fifth of the total complaints.
The overwhelming majority of Territorial Support Group officers, highly professional, and go out every day to protect the communities of London.
But the numbers are startling. 730-odd officers, and by your own figures, there's more than 130 outstanding complaints that are still being investigated. That's almost a fifth.
Well, their complaints, and I don't have all the details of them now, but, you know, the reality is the sort of duties we ask our officers to do. What we're trying to do is ensure that the complaints against TSG officers, you know, are no more than against normal borough officers, so there's compatibility there. And what we're trying to do across the organisation is drive down all complaints.
The Met Police told us they are examining these figures and will take action against individual officers who are attracting many complaints. We heard about some of these complaints from a voluntary worker in the capital. We're not identifying him for legal reasons. He was stopped and searched under drugs laws.
I don't use drugs, I don't drink, I don't smoke. You know, that I've never smoked in my life, never had a puff, you know, never had a sip of alcohol, you know, and for these officers to be telling me that I look like I'm on drugs, you know, merely because I was fasting, you know, that's inappropriate.
Far from being a street criminal, this young man comes from a highly respected family who work with the government and the police to try to stop young Muslims from becoming radicalised. He knows his rights and asked the officers from the Territorial Support Group for their identification numbers. He says he received this response.
They dragged me around to the other side of the van and, you know, they slapped me, they punched me. The driver, again, he knees me, this time to the left side. While they were beating me, I was, you know, being racially, you know, verbally abused.
What were they saying?
They say, you fucking Paki, you're going to be sorry now. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been pestering us. Words like this. Then they, you know, beat me again. They were slapping me, you know, hitting me with the hats that they wear. I was punched again, kicked a few times all over my legs. I was actually punched in the back of the head. I had a bruise on the back of my head as well.
He says THG officers called him an effing Paki and slammed his head into the police van. I mean, you know, what I'm suggesting to you is there's a hard core of real problem officers in your force.
That sort of behaviour is totally inappropriate and is not acceptable in the Metropolitan Police Service. And if that is brought to our attention, then we will take the firmest action against those individuals. You know, we have 33,000 police officers in the Metropolitan Police. We expect them all to be professional. We expect them to work for all the communities that we serve. And we will take strong action against people who act inappropriately. But I do not recognise that as being the common police officer across London.
The Met confirmed tonight that a man was arrested on suspicion of disorderly conduct, but no charges were pressed. They declined to comment further on this case because the complaint is being dealt with by local consultation with the family, they say, one option under the IPCC system.
Before this incident, you know, I had borough commanders in my house, you know, drinking tea, you know, having meals, going out together, talking about how we can get the youth of now and the police are closer together.
Now he says he's lost confidence in the police, which after all is the bigger theme behind today's critical report on policing the G20 protest.
Richard Watson there. Well, joining me now in the studio, Brian Paddock, a former Deputy Assistant Commissioner in the Met, Jenny Jones, who's a member of the Metropolitan Police Authority, the MP Keith Vaz, the Chairman of the Home Affairs Select Committee, which also recently released a report into G20 policing. Welcome to you all. Thanks for coming in. Brian Paddock, you're in charge of Southeast Territorial Support Group in your time. Does what you've heard here this evening surprise you?
Well, it's a great concern of mine because it appears to be history repeating itself. The Special Patrol Group, the predecessor of the Territorial Support Group, which was disbanded when Blair Peach was killed in a demonstration in 1979, started off as a very professional outfit. They were the elite of the Metropolitan Police. And gradually, the gang mentality took over. And in the end, they had to be disbanded. What I'm very concerned about is the Territorial Support Group. Again, the elite took much pride in their appearance, in what they did, in their fitness, could be showing signs of going the same way as the Special Patrol Group.
But you think, you know, it wasn't like this under your command. I mean, how well did you know it?
It certainly wasn't like that under my command, and I went out with the officers on patrol, and it was a very different situation in those days. But the alarming thing is, one of the things that young man said about being hit with a hat, one of the traditional TSG punishments amongst officers is a hatting, which is to hit fellow officers with their hats. So that story has a very sinister ring of truth about it.
Jenny Jones, this didn't just happen overnight. This doesn't even reflect what happened in the G20.
I think there is probably a much wider problem. I think the TSG has deep problems about the sort of robust policing that they get, that they are trained for. But I think also, I've heard senior officers, for example, say things like they differentiate between innocent people and protesters, as if a protester can't be an innocent person. Now, to me, that suggests there's a deep thought process and they can't understand the real function of protest and that it can be utterly peaceful.
Keith Vaz, isn't it extraordinary that we've had a whole report on the G20 and the policing of it and barely a mention of this controversial group?
Well, I'm very disappointed with what I've just seen on your programme. The fact is, I think this is a very strong report. It's very critical of certain aspects of what the police did during G20, and it very much echoes what we said in our Select Committee report a week ago. But what we were told in evidence, that the people on the front line were actually inexperienced and untrained officers. We were not told in our evidence, something that Brian has just told me as we were going on this programme, that actually the Territorial Support Group are usually in the front line,
but that was,
as far as these protests are concerned.
But that was pretty obvious. I mean, that has been pretty obvious from the footage we've seen over the last few months. Why would you put inexperienced officers on the front line?
Well, it may be pretty obvious, but we can only produce reports on the basis of the evidence that we have received. And certainly the evidence that came to us, the evidence that was given to us in this inquiry, was that the people on the front line were untrained and inexperienced, And basically, that's why we concluded that the police were pretty lucky on this occasion.
But the worrying point, Emily, is that the most serious complaints that have been made, for example, the ones regarding Ian Tomlinson, all involve territorial support group officers, not the young, inexperienced, untrained officers that the senior officers who gave evidence to the Home Affairs Select Committee said were to blame for losing control in that situation. In my experience, it is the experienced territorial support group officers who are more likely to overstep the mark than beat officers who are drafted into that situation.
I mean, you talk of overstepping the mark. Look at that case study. A young man picked up off the street, called a, quote, fucking packy, slapped around. The police have recognised that this is a legitimate complaint.
They have, and they should. That is totally unacceptable behaviour, even though in certain circumstances what the police do as far as tactics, they say, is within their rule book. It's totally unacceptable behaviour for any individual
to be beaten. But why then? Why are there still 137 outstanding complaints? I mean, we're talking about one in three officers.
Well, there shouldn't be. And one of the problems that I think we've had is what G20 has spawned, quite rightly, is a number of complaints that cannot be dealt with within the time frame. That's why one of the recommendations that we put forward is that additional resources have to be given to the IPCC in order to deal with these complaints. At the moment, a third of the entire caseload of the IPCC is actually complaints against officers who are participating in the G20 protests.
Jesse Jones, it does seem extraordinary that at this point we're just talking about the process to handle complaints. Do we actually need the territorial support group?
Well, as a Green, I'd like to say no, we don't need them. But in fact, of course, I think there will be times when you need that sort of very strong policing, because there are extreme incidents. But I think they're used too frequently. I think that the officers themselves are not rotated enough so that they get out of what Brian's called this gang culture. And I think there could be better training about civil liberties. They're clearly not doing their job properly.
Let's put some balance in here, though, because these are allegations. They're being investigated, that these officers have not been convicted of any wrongdoing, and we have the word of one person at the moment who's made this complaint about their treatment at the hands of the territorial support group. That investigation has not concluded yet. The second thing to say is what Chris Allison said, which is territorial support group officers quite often are put into the front line, and therefore you would expect to some extent them to have more complaints perhaps than other officers who are not put into those very stressful situations.
All right, but let me put you back as head in charge, if you like. These are allegations, and you have to deal, let's imagine, with those allegations. What would you do now from inside the Met? I mean, a complete reshuffle, a complete retrain? Would you disperse them so there isn't actually an elite force as such?
Well, you need to have a highly mobile force ready to deal with either a spontaneous outbreak of disorder or to deal with, we're on the anniversary of the 7th of July bombings. The territorial support group was an extremely useful resource in that sort of situation. But what you've got to make sure is that there is rotation of those officers on a regular basis so that these cliques do not develop, that they do not become a law unto themselves, which is the problem we had with the Special Patrol Group before.
Keith Fowles, I come back to my previous point. Neither in the report today nor in your report from the Home Affairs Select Committee did we hear any mention of the problems or the scale of the complaints against this force. Don't you think that's a pretty bad miss?
It is a pretty bad miss, but you can only produce reports on the basis of the evidence that has been given to you, and if a select committee is given evidence about the type of officers who are on duty during protests of this kind, we can only conclude on the evidence that we've got. But don't forget, Dennis O'Connor's report is an interim report in any event. This was brought out relatively quickly in order to ensure that some of the main points were dealt with. But we will certainly return to this subject as a result of the consultations that we will have following the publication of this report. This isn't the end of it. I think the debate on policing with consent of major events of this kind, which, frankly, this report very helpfully talks about, is something that we have to return to.
Okay.
What the G20 gives us is the opportunity to have that debate with the public.
Jenny Jones, you've had that pledge here from Keith Vaz tonight. From the MPA's perspective, what would you actually like to see in concrete terms?
Well, I think we have seen the start of a public debate, which has not happened before. Because over many years, I've complained about policing tactics, and I've mostly been ignored on the police authority because people just haven't believed them. We are now in a different era when we've seen some very bad behaviour. The police, I think, have got to change.
Thank you all very much indeed. Thanks for joining me.